All right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We are just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, and we share what we've learned with you. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, laughter, and experience. Use the other 23 hours a day to do life, but for this, put the ears on and come hang out with us. It's a place to put your feet up or down. If you're exercising or driving or skateboarding or kite surfing or hiking or moonwalking or needlepointing or scrapbooking or gardening or refereeing or food shopping or performing in Annie or anything like that. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we would forever be grateful. And please follow us on the gram, the Twitter, and the Facebook. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off parent tweets of the week with a sort of a through line to kids today will never know what it was like to ... And then in smart articles by smart people, Ben has gone out of his league and contributed an article he pre-read for tonight's show. And the dads will discuss what happens when your parents fight, the effects on children, as well as the parents, and also a few suggestions on how to handle things constructively and reduce the negative effects on children. Also, the guys will talk a little postseason football, Valentine's, chill, hoops, and more. And finally, they wrap up with a tie-in to the 90s music quiz, a couple this or that's, and things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, what's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
Welcome to the backyard from heaven. How are you doing tonight?
Very good.
You have a big day tomorrow, is that correct? What are you doing tomorrow?
The talent show.
You're doing the talent show tomorrow, and what are you going to be performing in the talent show?
Me and my friend are performing tomorrow from Annie.
Tomorrow from Annie? Oh my gosh. And it's 11 o'clock, right? Okay, I'll be there. All right, so we've got to kick off the show with a joke of the night. What is your joke?
What did the shark say as he was eating a clownfish?
What did the shark say as he was eating a clownfish? I don't know.
That tastes funny.
That tastes funny. Very well done. I'll let you head inside to have some dinner. I know your sister's in there cooking in the kitchen. The guys will be coming around the corner in a minute, and the Dad Timeout Show will be coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, the dads have come around the corner. Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, hey.
Good evening.
What do we do? Just clink? Whoa. We can't clink technically.
I'm filling in for Ben. My name is Chester.
Oh, hey, what's that?
Sorry, it's just Ben.
I know what's going on there.
What's going on over there?
We're
going
to go around the corner. My name is Michael. I'm going to go to my left. What's your name, sir? How many kids do you have, and what's your sign?
I'm Chris or Crix. I have two daughters.
Yeah.
I am a Sagittarius with a bad moon rising, as they say.
Oh, interesting. How about you in the middle, sir?
They call me Ben. I thought I had three kids. I just found out I had three more.
All righty. Oh, that's six total. And we're going to go over to you, sir, in the brown or black puffy coat, matching black blanket, I see.
It's a little chilly out here. Mark, four kids. I'm a Taurus.
All right. Is that what you drive or what your sign is?
That's...
Oh my gosh, man.
Nice. Sorry, dude. I'll calm down.
My grandmother, Kay, used to have a Carolina blue Ford Taurus because she was from North Carolina and was a huge fan of the Carolina Tar Heels.
Nice. She got her car after her favorite college
team. Yes, and a true story. She was buried in a Carolina blue casket.
Wow.
She pre-picked it. She was not excited to pass away, of course, but like she just knew that that was her true love. I remember when she would visit me when I was a child, and Carolina basketball was paramount to the visits. Like, we could have been in the middle of dinner. She's like, I need to go. She was
Michael
Southern.
Jordan and this.
Yes. Yeah. She has a picture of him with Michael Jordan.
You're rocking the Tar Heel blue right now.
I am doing a little Tar Heel tonight.
Pretty good.
Well, I've switched to basketball. Obviously, football season is over.
What a run, though. Huh?
What a run for everybody, I guess.
Don't want to talk about it.
I'm okay with it, you know.
You're a professional.
The Super Bowl. So as we taped, the Super Bowl was just last Sunday. Very exciting game. I had never attended or hosted a Super Bowl party because I'm usually working in one form or another. And we actually had just a few people over, and there were kids, and we did chips and dip and wangs and all that good stuff. It was just kind of fun to be on my own couch for a change and watch things and discuss and analyze and eventually throw things and yell at the referees and all that stuff. But it was a long season. I'm from my perspective, I'm glad it's over. But also, I look back with massive gratitude for the experience of doing what I get to do. Just some quick highlights. I got to get a stadium to sing happy birthday to a 100-year-old woman, George Kittle's grandmother. I led the stadium singing, which was something I probably never predicted when I got my college degree.
Yeah.
I got to give away a lot of money to some really deserving people on the field to great recognition. I got to MC the corgi races on the 50-yard line, which in turn ended up with we have a brand new puppy now because my kids fell in love with the corgis and the French bulldogs that were refereeing the event. So congrats to the Chiefs. I'm not thrilled about it, but hey, we've got the Dad House pod. Those boys are from Kansas City, so big congratulations to them. I always take the high road on that, but it's over, done, and dusted. See you next.
Just a game.
See you at the draft.
Yes.
Even if your team wins the Super Bowl, the next day you're like, so now what do you want to do?
Well, that's why during all the smack talk down the stretch, I'm like, you realize like 96 hours later, we're all going to be talking about off-season moves, coaches getting siphoned, the draft.
It's entertainment.
Yeah. I didn't have time today because I'm in the middle of the, as we all are, the plate spinning 7 activity zone. So let's just shout out really quick to some people that followed our last post. Let's give a shout out to Dadlorian Life, Christopher Plant, Jessica Spear, author Laura Cobes, Boot Camp for New Dads, The Real Chef Gigi, Art Eddie III, Wild Peace for Parents. I really like their stuff, by the way. Check out Kendra Wild and all the stuff that she does. Parent Compass, Mr. Misfit 106, Amesy, Blacksmith, Avon's Mama, Kristen Bradley, Johnny Stanner, Brando Pritchard, Walt Grant 92, Bill Palmer 752, because Bill Palmer 751 was taken.
I guess so.
Muscle Glasses 2885, Team Lopez, who we know, Dad CEO, Joel Chang, Dale the Murphy, Pregnancy Mindset, and My World 831. Shout out to all those great folks that liked our last thing. We had a lot of good commentary on our last show. It was a good way to get out of the gates in January. Now that the season's over, hopefully we can get bi-monthly out. But hey, it's February, and we made it through Valentine's Day. Mark, I saw your hot air balloon fly overhead with I Love My Wife, and Air Supply was playing, on bungee jumps.
I was a little worried it'd get shot down.
We did have some balloon issues across the country.
I managed to get it through.
What if that was Mark's that kind of drifted
that
away?
That was Mark's.
Ended up
the
over
whole thing
Montana.
Exactly.
You were up in Montana State, and you're like, oh, there it goes. And then you just see. All right, coming up next, Ben's love for Rihanna and parent tweets of the week.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for parent tweets of the week. I headed one direction today, and then after the arduous process of selecting the article, I went another direction.
That was rough.
But this was kind of fun because we do this a lot on the show, so I thought it was fun to see other people relate to this. It's basically kids today will never know what it was like when, and these are all real tweets from real people. This is from Crockett for Real. He says, kids will never know the rush of the internet finally connecting on that third dialing attempt.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's so funny.
Get off the phone!
Do you remember?
Mom would pick up the phone and then you'd get kicked offline.
It's almost joyful. Yes. It's almost joyful, though. I remember, my little AOL messenger popping up. It was the first time you really got to talk to people instantly, you know, with your little messages.
And it's free. Remember the long distance thing?
Yeah.
It was free. Oh, my gosh. But were those noises, were they real things? I want to know what those noises were.
It's a modem.
That's the digital to analog conversion.
Okay, there's your answer.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
Oh, you would know.
Oh, yeah.
You're the computer smart person.
Digital analog conversion noises?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the modem, and it connected
to the internet. Them back?
We don't want it back.
But there was something like...
There's anxiety attached to that.
Really? Yeah, because it could drop, but I always loved it. And then the final... And then it all opened up.
Because you're an optimist, man.
Yeah. Well, my kids will never know that.
Right.
Nope. They get mad when they're not connected from like 700 yards on a video game. Right. All right. So this is from @Robin991. Kids today will never understand the annoyance of calling your friend and having to ask to speak to them.
Mm. Oh, yeah. The parents. Hi.
Remember that?
Is Carly there?
There's only one number.
Yeah. Well, I did the whole conversation this past week about... Like, what was it like to have to share the phone with your siblings and you each get a certain amount of time? Get off the phone!
Oh, and you know they're listening in.
And all that crazy stuff. It's like, I was talking to my older son about that, going, you have no idea what it was like to have to share a phone.
I can beat you all. I had to call. So my girlfriend, her dad was my head football coach. So I had to call and talk to my head football coach. Hi, coach. It's Carly there. We just want to talk about homework and stuff.
Winter?
No, he called me Winter.
Yeah, I know.
He called me Winter.
Don't ever call me by my last name.
That's interesting. I have a lot of stories around that world. But I just remember, I was an only child, so I never had the pickup unless my mom was just saying, get off. But I did remember calling other houses, and then the brothers and sisters would pick up the phone. And usually the oldest one won, you know, or would tease the younger one. But I'll tell you a funny story. So I was dating the older sister of this one family. And then her younger sister would always pick up first, especially if the parents were home. So we'd start talking. She was a grade younger, two grades younger, in high school.
And you married her?
No. But I did end up not going out with the older one anymore, and I ended up going out with the younger one.
Yeah, that was close.
I can't drop names because it hits too close to home, but we used to do that. We used to do emergency break-ins.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the operator and be like, I have an emergency break-in for Marianne.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. The collect calls, or you'd be like, a collect call from, I can't make it home tonight, Mom. I'm going to be home at pizza at Peter's house.
You try and squeeze it in. I'll be home in 20 minutes, Mom. Oh, yeah. I mean, good times. All right. So kids today. All right. Let's back here. Kids today will never understand the euphoria of grabbing the last tape of a latest release on a Friday night at a Blockbuster.
Mm. Yes.
Very true.
That trailed me all the way into, it used to be college, but then it trailed me all the way into San Francisco. We used to have a Blockbuster right down on Arguello and Presidio, I believe. No, they California and Presidio. And there was just a joy of getting that and getting your Act Two popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sour Patch Kids and having those back to back movies. Dude. Or sometimes you do like a Godfather trill or whatever.
What a good life, huh?
But remember that when you used to sneak them around or you check the bin that just arrived?
That was the return bin.
Yeah.
No, that was the key. You'd watch them check in videos. Oh, did you just check that in?
Yeah.
Okay, can I get that?
Is that Carlito's
gosh, it's all coming back.
Dude, that was like full on the game.
Wow.
I swear, though, that was a moment. And I still try to reenact that. Like, I try to build up, like, if we get a movie, like Puss in Boots was just released.
It was pretty funny.
And I liked it, yeah. And, but I built it up because we were paying for it. I'm like, okay, it's like, it's night. Like, everybody get their blankets. Like, let's get good food, snacks. Like, I tried to build it up like that Blockbuster old school night.
Yeah, you got it.
But, man, especially in your 20s when you weren't going out and you're like, I got a double Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it was so exciting.
It's too easy now, you know what I mean?
We said the same thing.
Yeah.
Did we say it in such synchronicity?
Yeah. I used to run into Jerry Rice at the downtown San Carlos Blockbuster. all the time.
Really?
That was that was his spot. Yeah, he lived in San Carlos. I lived in San Carlos, and I'd be in there. I'm like, hey, it's like
Jerry needs to kick back too, man.
Number 80,
Courtney Cox thing. Or something. Anyhow, I like watching these movies.
Oh, that's my foot hurts from your name drop, but other than that, I'm okay.
I'm glad.
Ow. All right. This one we can probably relate to because I think I ruined my $2 teeth on this. Music streaming makes music too accessible. Kids today don't know the struggle of getting the wrapping and stickers off a new CD jewel case.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Truth.
That's what we were just saying.
It was the worst.
Dude, what's harder is like when you were trying to tape something off the radio and you had to try to wait for the DJ to stop talking. Okay, it's 106.5 KML. And
they talk over. Talking. No, they talk over it on purpose.
They count it in. They have a digital countdown going on to
so
where
Casey Kasem is over every song
Dear
of my
Casey.
Youth. Yeah.
You know, geez, no. I just want to hear We Are the World. Remember? He'd record the.
I got that. Well, I'm going to go back even further. We used to call the radio station. Especially, we had two college stations where I grew up. So you could call in and literally get a college kid on the phone like, what's up, man? You'd be like, hey, I want to hear the Dead Milkman.
Milkman is so good.
Yeah.
Bitch and Camaro.
Yes, donuts on your lawn.
Yeah.
Right up.
But yeah, getting the wrapper off those CD cases was a pain in the butt too. I remember taking my tooth and doing the edge. Like if I didn't have a pen to jam in there.
They eventually had those ones that actually peeled and pulled.
There was always a little tab if you look closely.
There's a tab. They had a peel and pull.
All right, real quick. And I think we talked about this before, so I don't want to digress. What was the first song you ever heard on CD?
My gosh. Oh, you know what? Raw bass, DJ, easy rock. I want to rock right now.
In a store or in the... Burr, burr,
burr. I guess it would be the first CD
I remember
I had,
having that
which
CD
was the Zeppelin
and putting
box
it in
set.
The thing.
I got the Zeppelin box set when I was like...
CDs came out and I was old. I was selling CD players. Mm-hmm. I got David Sylvian's.
That wasn't the question.
That was the first,
I remember first
CD,
this
CD I bought.
My first
that's a tough
CD
one, MK.
In the CD player.
David Sylvian.
All right, then I got a story. I'm sorry, listeners.
Come on.
So I'm working... Japan. I'm working after wrestling practice at Macy's, right? So my wrestling bus would drop me off. My school bus would drop me off at the mall. I'd go to Macy's. And
the
I was
shoe department or
close.
He was so
close.
He was
close.
So wearing his headgear.
No, the first where they say stuck leotard. Me, true story, was the lamp department.
The lamp
I
department
sold lamps
at Macy's.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Philadelphia, whatever.
This one lights up.
So
this one. Lights up.
I was the
what
worst.
What size
absolute
do you
want
to have the cover?
And all I did was flirt with the people and girls in housewares anyway.
Yeah.
So, awesome. But right in the next wall over were the long-haired, mustachy, Bob Seger-looking guys that ran the stereo department.
Nice.
And one night they called me over when they got the first CD players, and I might have been
this out.
15. Yeah. And they're like, you got to hear this. Like, the store was closed, and they put in Rush Limelight. And they put it in every speaker on the wall through the CD.
Well,
so
that's
memorable. And I was like, what is this magic? It was Rush. Nice. So that was it for me. All right, moving on. Kids today will never know the sheer fleeting joy of having a new phone cord that isn't hopelessly tangled like an 8-day-old fettuccine.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
When you drag it through the house. I always had a trick to do that. All you had to do is unplug it and then let it dangle and it would unspin itself.
Too much work.
Ben, you're going to appreciate this one. Yeah. Kids today will never know what it was like to take a ton of pictures and then have to wait a week to get two good ones.
Photomat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we take 70, 80 of the flower and then have 86,000 photos on the phone.
Don't get me started.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
Photography's dead.
Kids today will never understand that if you didn't see the TV show when it originally aired, you just didn't see it.
Dude, right? That was it.
You missed it.
Right?
Knight Rider.
Get your homework
done,
or else you're not going to watch the show tonight.
Leverage.
Boys. Dude, you man, know, the leverage was huge.
That's why those finales were so gargantuan back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
last episode of MASH? Everyone had to watch it.
Well,
Seinfeld.
Anything, everything.
Well, yeah, because it was just that. It was on, and that was it.
Even into the 2000s.
Peace out. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. We got there, too. Even HBO, when Sopranos finished, I might be right on that one. Maybe wrong. But anyway, I digress. All right, final one. Then we'll move on to the Bentacle.
That's gross. I don't
like that. Disgusting. It's from at Mariana 057. I like the way to finish this. While doing her history homework, my daughter asked me what I knew about Galileo. I said, he's just a poor boy from a poor family. And that will wrap up Parent Tweets of the Week. Coming up next, smart articles by smart people from Parenting for the Brain. I'm going to grammatically correct the title. What happens when parents fight in front of kids? Coming up next, smart articles by smart people.
Articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for smart articles by smart people. This one came in from the Ben Winter this afternoon. Nice. I'm glad you did that because I don't think of stuff out of my box a lot of times, and I do pride myself on trying to listen and hear what other people have to say. So I'm not going to say I'm really well versed because I barely read the article. Because I wanted to trade roles.
My first contribution is about how spouses fight. Yeah,
great. Yeah, but I mean, it's important, and I think it's very right. Yeah, instead of how to raise successful kids,
it's important. All part of being a dad, you know.
Yeah. I just felt like we could be a little more vulnerable and just kind of take a little bit of a tangent of. Yeah. Kind of our vein, whatever.
I 100% agree. And then once I got through it, I was like, you know what? This is great. This is, takes us in a newer direction. And I've had some of that with the interviews. I wasn't ready for the level of comfort that I'm accustomed to. But once I push through, it always benefits everybody. And you know, I'll have a talk with my wife about this, too, because we're not cognizant of how we handle things.
In front of them.
In front of them, according to these articles. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me just kick it off here and just say, obviously, Captain Obvious, it's normal for parents to fight. That's the reality of life. Parents can fight about a lot of things, from little things as television channel, important things like having another child. Stakes of emotions can be high. Not all parents' fights are terrible and need to be avoided. The way adults deal with conflicts can be have different consequences for the kids. Parents' fighting's effect on the child. When we live with kids, these conflicts will sometimes be brought up in front of our children. You may find yourself wondering, do parents fight in front of the kids hurt the children in any way? The answer is yes. At times, it's always upsetting and stressful to witness parents arguing. The good news is that not all types of conflicts will have adverse effects on kids in the long run. Effects of fighting in front of a child depend on its frequency, intensity, context, and the way it's resolved. Research shows that conflicts can generate significant negative effects on children if they have the following characteristics. They're frequent. They are intense and destructive. They are child-related, or they are poorly resolved. So that kind of takes us to the top, and then I'm going to share some tips on resolution and constructive fixing of this. But I guess the first question I would have for you guys is, did your parents fight as a child, and did you witness it?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. My parents were, that's a good one. I didn't really actually think about that reading the article. I was just thinking about my shortcomings. But my parents were pretty old school, where my parents would pretty much bicker quite a bit. It wasn't like really intense or anything, but they definitely didn't hide it from us. Like, they didn't go in the other room to argue or anything. It was pretty much in full display and all of that. But yeah, it wasn't ever like violent or anything like that.
Right, Ben?
I think it's one of the best things my parents did for us was that they did not fight in front of us. I mean, they must have had their stuff. We see it now as adults, you know, and they tell us there was this or that. But my goodness, they did not do it. They had an agreement. They stuck to it. And I really wish my wife and I did that better. So my parents were real rock stars with that. I think it was very beneficial because I think in the end you're going to your kids are seeing how you are treating each other, and that's what they will expect from their spouse, whether it was respectful or type of fighting. You got to learn how to fight fair. My mom always said that. And, you know, and I feel like my wife and I don't fight fair, and we have a tiny house, and we let it fly too frequently in front of them. So I've really been trying to say we cannot do this in front of them.
Did you know that they were fighting? Or, I mean, like if they were fighting, would they go in another
never
room
saw fight.
Hide, or you didn't,
Never saw them fight.
And doesn't that make you feel like you don't see how maybe to resolve conflict, or everything seems like a false picture, or did they never fight? You know, they just got
no, they definitely, you know, my mom would, like, clench her teeth and make a very distorted face sometimes, and Dad yelled at us a lot.
Yeah.
But they just kind of had this agreement that they would not fight in front of us. And I think it was awesome. I don't know. How, are we doing the whole thing here, or was it just a question?
No, it's just a question. Mark.
Early on, my parents never fought in front of us. Once my sisters moved out and I was essentially an only child, my parents started to open up a little bit more with their communication with each other, and my dad was a little bit old school and just not clued in, and my mom would get fed up with him and his inability to understand stuff that he should just help with around the house, which, you know, thankfully their fighting early, like later on in my years, made me realize, like, hey, you know, this is a 50-50 thing in a relationship, and my dad wasn't always, my dad worked and he'd sit on the couch and watch golf and drink a beer. Huh. And my mom would do everything else. And so, you know, they did. And I found myself as a peacekeeper. Like when my dad would get mad at my sisters when I was younger, never fighting between my mom and my dad. And then when older on, you know, when I was older, then I saw them argue. But again, they would come back together and make up, and I would mm-hmm. see the process of the fight and the resolution. So,
well, I mean, there's so I'll answer. I was a single, I had a single mom, so there wasn't a lot of arguments going on. Truth.
Was there a before that?
She got remarried? No, I mean, they divorced when I was
really young,
really young, like one. She got remarried, but there wasn't much friction there. And then after that, it was back to she and I. So. Yeah, I really didn't witness a lot of that. So this is kind of new to me. Mm. But moving forward into the next half, we can talk about what's currently going on. But here's some of the facts from this. And it's Captain Obvious if you've read into this. But let me just read it out in case you're just learning about this stuff for the first time. When children are in distress, the level of stress hormone cortisol spikes. If arguments only occur occasionally, child's hormonal level returns to normal soon. Because arguing is fairly normal, whether it's driving directions, parking spot, or who left the spaghetti sauce out, right? However, constant conflicts create frequent fluctuations in cortisol levels and disrupt the cortisol patterns, causing physical health problems such as brain shrinkage, sleep disturbance, and weakened immune system. It can go all the way to oppositional defiant disorder. We'll put this article up, which has links that you can look up to. One thing that was interesting to me, too, children's relationship with parents will also deteriorate as a result. Children who experience regular parental fighting are more reactive. When confronted with conflict later, their reactions are more intense. They're prone to anxiety issues, withdrawal problems, frequent fights, also increase the child's aggression with siblings and peers at school. So a lot of tension, negative emotions, perceived threat, emotional problems. I mean, a lot of bad stuff can come from conflict, you know, conflict in front of your kids, especially if they're younger. But I'm sure it has equal effect as tweens, teens as well. Poorly resolved family conflicts can have negative effects on marital relationships and family functioning in general. I'm going to move on to the fixes. How to reduce the negative effects on children, but I'll give you the lay of our house because again, like I never thought about this deep enough till today, really. Hmm. I've always been conscious of it because I do think that, you know, fighting in front of kids is not good. So we are, I think the thing with my wife and I is that we talk 24 hours a day. Like you know what I'm saying? We're texting constantly, we are speaking constantly, there's always communication flow going. And one thing we do, I'll say to the positive, is that we move on fast, and if apology needs to be laid out, it's laid out fast. Mm. We don't let things linger, we don't stew. if something happens, I may need a walk to cool off before I'll do anything.
Sure.
Or vice versa. She may, you know, go get caught, whatever the situation is. But our goal is not to ever have conflict in front of the kids and then have conversations about stuff around that. But but now thinking deeper on it, as I have sat on the article for a couple hours, I'm like, oh, maybe there was that time that, or maybe we did that. And so, you know, again, learning and moving forward, not looking in the rearview mirror and trying to get better from these articles. That's kind of where we're at. Chris?
I mean, for me, this is like, I have thought about it, and it has always been something that has been important to me. Like, even before I was married, I always wanted to be the ideal husband. And, you know, I kind of dreamt of being that, you know, perfect husband, as well as being a good dad. And it's probably my biggest regret, you know, now that my kids are, like, you know, older now and getting ready to leave the nest and all that. Like, my number one regret is definitely, like, this article, and not being as present or aware of the damage that, or the impact that it's having on my kids while we were arguing and while I was not really modeling the best sort of behavior with my wife and kind of letting that slip, you know. And, you know, I can honestly say that, like, my kids are probably, like, would say they don't want to marry someone that's like their dad, you know, in the way that they treat, like, the way that I treated their mom kind of thing. And, yeah, it's definitely, I wish that I could go back and fix some of that stuff, but, like, you know. Well, what?
You can. You can tell them. You can.
For sure.
They're hearing that. They're hearing that.
I'm at a point now where I could definitely be honest and say, hey, I know that I screwed up here, and I really wanted to be this.
That's huge.
But that's, you know, I still feel like it's too little too late, because it's like, you know, their memories of,
yeah,
of, especially because it was something that was important to me at one point at the early stages of our relationship and our marriage. But, like, you know, we definitely were bickering a lot. And, you know, like the article says, you know, the relationship that they have with us, like, when I see my oldest daughter fighting and bickering with my wife, she's using the same sort of language and the same sort of passive aggressive
sure
tactics and, you know, getting back at her. And I'm kind of like, you know, I'm just kidding.
You've been trained. She's been trained. No, but, like,
I don't,
yeah,
take any pleasure in it. But no, seriously,
did your kids see you drive the Camaro over your wife's new statue in the front yard that one time?
No, but it's the climate that they're kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, and so I have not modeled good behavior and good, like, conflict resolution. I see them doing the same thing now, and it definitely hurts me. Like, I really do wish that, yeah, I would have stuck to my goal of being a good husband. And, you know, my biggest fear, honestly, with two daughters is, like, they're going to have unhealthy relationships now because of, you know, because of me, and I was a bad husband. And
but I agree with Ben. I really do. I think that if you're forthright and you really look back and you say, hey, listen, I just want to let you know, I even on other matters with my kids, I will say, hey, I want to let you know that I was in the wrong this morning, and I apologize to you for that.
Yeah.
And I think that goes a long way, and sure, I think it goes a long way on the marital level as well. Because if you're transparent and you're making an effort to be a better human at all times, especially a better father, I think that resonates with kids. It's personal opinion.
Very much. I think, like, just letting them know that how human we are is huge. Like, and being able to just to say sorry is a real good skill. And that repair and restoration can happen, you know? Like, it really can. Like, and showing that, like, that life is hard, and being human's hard, and being an adult's hard. Like, you know, I mean, especially when they're adults, right? Like, when they're in their 20s, you can start to,
yeah,
you know, talk to them more as adults and be like, you know, that's, I, true, screwed up here, and I hope for more for you. I mean, that happens all the time.
All right.
So,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. No, my biggest takeaway from the article was the content of the argument. It's very big that it's not about the kids.
Sure.
That was huge. I was like, oh, yeah. Hmm. If you're kind of arguing whether, you know, like, they should play this sport or not.
That in can front may- of them.
Yeah, that, yeah, can maybe be a little healthy. Like, hey, well, babe, she doesn't even like volleyball. Why are you making her do it? That, you know what I mean? Like, Yeah. All right. That versus like, you know, that it depends on the content very much. And yeah, I really am against arguing in front of them at all. I just, how you treat each other with tenderness. That's like, that's very important. We're not great at it. We're just in a very stressful time. And it all goes down. We have a tiny house. So there is nowhere to,
we
go.
We do as well.
Yeah. It's so like, where do you go?
A slam door or a cabinet of expression of anger carries.
Yeah. And just like, we're in a hurry or something. And I'm like, babe, we're not doing this right now. You know, you're not going to bash me. You're going to, you know, because one of the best things is to grab your spouse and just hug them and kiss them in front of the kids and watch them squirm.
Absolutely.
I love it. I'll do it. Yeah. Like if we get at it, sometimes I'll just grab my wife and just like, you know, just squeeze her and ew.
We do family hug. We've been doing it since they've been little. We'll yell out, family hug. We all squish together.
I will tell you
that. Just hug it out.
Hugging my 16-year-old, sometimes he needs that. He's a little bit. Everybody needs a little bit of.
Just grab him.
A little bit of sugar.
So these tips can help you minimize the impact. I want to give some advice here from a professional at the end. Please. These tips can minimize the impact on your child's mental health. Avoid destructive conflicts. We don't all have to avoid disagreements. Reality, we can't. Recent study has found that marital conflict can be beneficial to development if the conflict is constructive. Best thing to do when open fights happen is to avoid using destructive strategies. So, I mean, this is... a really deep well, and we're just skimming the top. Model respectful disagreements. Not all arguments are bad if we disagree respectfully.
Yeah.
And that can trickle right down the line. You know, I see it with my kids. I'm like, look, if it ends bad, just respect each other. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to take the L. Let's move on. You'll have your day. Same kind of thing. Children can learn from our behaviors, hostile exchanges, like we all talked about this. Limit topics of disagreement. Not all topics or arguments are equally upsetting the kids. According to research, disagreements over finances, economic issues, time management, and goal setting do not affect the child's emotions, but disagreements over child rearing, do. Limit the kids' kinds of conflicts so the child-related or difficult topics are only discussed behind closed doors. Finally, use constructive conflict behaviors. Constructive conflict behaviors have been linked to positive outcomes in children by improving the child's security, positive emotions, sleep, academic achievement, social skills, problem-solving skills, resolution, stress coping, and health-related outcomes. Constructive conflict behaviors include initiate affectionate contact rather than using aggression. Be respectful even when you disagree. Give constructive criticism instead of shame or blame. Use problem solving to become a solution, even a partial solution, if it can be constructive. And finally, explain the situation to your child if needed, and do not blame them for the conflict. And then last but not least, this is why a lot of my friends that we talk to on the show are in business, seek family therapy. Unresolved challenges to families can create whiskey. That would be awesome. Unresolved challenges to families can create risky family environments and serious problems for children. For dysfunctional families that experience high levels of conflict, it's hard for parents to resolve the situation on your own. Professional help, such as family therapy, is the best way to get your life back on track. A professional therapist helps you find a better way to deal with high conflict situations and avoid emotional distress. They can also help the entire family develop healthy relationship, anger management strategies, and emotional regulatory skills. And I know a lot of parents, a lot of friends of ours that will be wide open and tell you they go to family therapy, and you know, they're just very transparent about it, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know,
it's normalized now.
Yeah, I think it's great that it's all normalized. Well, Ben,
yeah,
I must say, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for a good article. Thanks for a different angle of conversation today.
Yeah.
That is Smart Articles by Smart People. It's from Parenting for the Brain. We'll put the link up when we post the show and all that good stuff. It's by Pamela Lee. And that was a good one. All right, so coming up next, we will completely switch gears, and we will do a little musical trivia on the 90s. Speaking of things that our kids are missing out on, is the initial releases of some of these ditties. Coming up next, Oh, it's from BuzzFeed, so you know it's got to be legit.
Oh, boy.
Quiz time! Palette quiz. Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, it's time for parent quiz. I'm gonna say or sing you a lyric. You tell me what song it's from.
Okay.
Some of them are easy. I got, I think I did it alone, and I got six, maybe five out of seven. Mm. But we'll see how you guys do.
From the 90s.
There's three of you, so I'm expecting, I have high hopes. All right, stop.
Collaborate and listen.
Right. The new invention.
Easy. Is it Baby Got Back?
Nice babies.
Come on.
No. Little in the Middle. Genie in a Bottle.
Vanilla Ice, baby.
Secondary trivia, where's Vanilla Ice from?
Minnesota. Philly. Minneapolis.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Is he from? I thought it was
from Minnesota. I don't know.
I thought he was in Florida.
I thought
Florida.
He asked.
Yes, Miami.
Also resurrected his career as a home builder.
Yeah. Isn't he in Florida?
He does flip shows now. He's awesome.
He does the renovations and stuff.
All right. Song number two.
Van Winkle.
I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from?
Where did you go? Where did you come from? Where did you go? Cotton Eye Joe. Cotton Eye Joe.
I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Barbie Girl. Wannabe.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe by. Who sings Cotton Eye Joe?
Oh,
Not Smokey Robinson.
Not Smokey Robinson?
No.
Oh, I'll know when I hear it.
Not Pop Smoke?
No, I don't know.
No?
Can't remember. My kids do a dance to it. That's why I know.
Rednecks.
Oh.
Whenever I do a dance contest, you know, in a live environment, we always throw that in as the middle song. And then we get the crowd clapping and we get couples dancing. Cotton Eye Joe. All right. Power and the Money. Money and the Power. Minute after minute.
Hour after hour.
What is it?
Can't stand in my life. Gangsta's Paradise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I won't even give you the multiple choice.
Paradise.
Yes, rest in peace. Yes, Coolio's Gangsta
so good.
Paradise.
Coolio, R.I.P.
My wife says that it's based on her high school. I still don't know.
Woodside?
High school?
No, she says it's Paradise? Carlmont.
Oh, yeah, Carlmont. Yeah, Carlmont.
I didn't deserve it.
That's true.
All right.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting. Here's one.
Gangsta Paradise. Carlmont?
Yeah.
This is a little violent. I'm not a big fan, but I'm going to read you the lyrics. Because when I shoot to give, I shoot to kill.
I shoot to kill.
I came to get down.
I came to get ill. Oh, wait.
I came to get down.
So get out your seat and jump around.
House of Pain.
Yes, jump around House of Pain. Secondary question. What college celebrates the changeover from third quarter to fourth quarter by playing the song the entire stadium jumps around?
The Tennessee Volunteers?
Incorrect.
No, it's going to be someplace in Boston.
Dude, I just went.
Incorrect.
I don't know,
dude.
Jumper
Philly.
Wisconsin Badgers.
Ugh. Oh, that doesn't make sense.
You failed the Know Your College Football test, even though you played college football, Ben.
Well, I don't watch Wisconsin football. There you go.
All right, here we go. Next song. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me.
Yeah. No scrubs.
No scrubs. Time to holler at me.
No Scrubs by TLC.
Oh, is that the title? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging with the side. All
right, this is a little curveball for those of you listening in the car. I apologize. I'm not going to sing it because you'd get it if I sang it. Tell me why. Ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why. Ain't nothing but a mistake.
Oh, man, that's a little tougher. Can you sing it now? None of us are going to get it.
Tell me why.
Oh, my gosh. Here it comes.
Wow.
Is that One Direction?
No.
Backstreet Boys are NSYNC.
Who is it?
Backstreet Boys.
I want it that way.
I want it that way.
I want it that way.
Backstreet Boys.
Tell me why.
Jeez. I want it that way by the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, so awful.
I love that song. It's a good song.
Good for you, man.
I like it.
Get on track.
Okay, I'm not going to sing this one. I'm just going to read the lyrics. Here we go. Next song. I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough now.
Mm. That doesn't even ring a bell.
Nothing. Okay, sing it.
I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough.
Also,
you believe in love after love.
Is this Cher?
You believe in love.
to share.
He needs to work. I'm sorry.
Believe
your
by share
needs a little work there.
That was the first song that did auto tune.
I know that was terrible.
That was kind of more like Madam.
That was the first song that used auto tune for a jump.
By the way, there's a huge documentary on autotune on Netflix. It's really good.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I was on the big screen at Cher doing the lasso cowboy move in the stands.
Wow.
Yeah, between the Village People and Cher.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
They put I was on the big screen. San Jose.
You're a very big screenable person.
San Jose's Arena, whatever it's called these days. All right. All right. Final one, I think. Yes, it is. On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know you know.
I don't got that one. I got no beat on it.
Go, let yourself go.
I'll give you one hit.
That is the tempo. That's not it.
No, it's not it.
Say it again. I don't know. Sing it.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know you know.
I don't know.
That's a weird one.
I'll give you a hint.
Ace of bass, third eye blind.
No, 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 no.
Na 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 na. What is that?
Getting jiggy with it. Na na na.
Oh, was it getting jiggy with it?
Will Smith, right?
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Will Smith.
Fresh Prince.
You know, BuzzFeed says we scored better than 100% of all other quiz takers. We're a 90s baby.
Wow,
we definitely passed the test. The generation is proud of you.
God bless us.
All right, coming up next, we're in the home stretch, folks. Thank you for riding along through my terrible Cher rendition. A couple this or that, and then we are out of here. These confused Ben, so it may take a minute. Hold on.
What's the mean?
All right, here we go. We've got a quick round of this or that, and then we'll get into things that make us happy, and then we'll go on to our beautiful evening. Number one, vacation or staycation?
Vacation.
Vacation.
Is that all you ever wanted?
I love vacations, but you know, I'm trying to do vacations.
It's all I ever wanted. Happy to get away.
I do like just chilling at home.
One of my favorite things I ever did was took a kid to a residence in it was like 4 miles from our head, right next to Stone Ridge Mall, actually.
And then did nothing.
And we did nothing. We ordered pizza and we swam in the pool and we just had a night.
That's weird.
Because we were in a hotel room.
I know that pool.
So much fun. All right, number two, Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Hulu, guys.
Number three, night or morning?
What?
I'm definitely
night or morning.
Morning's rough.
Oh, jeez. Mornings, I guess.
Because
whatever.
I'm a night person.
I'm night.
Night.
That's my morning.
I'm not a night person, but I still can't stand mornings.
I'm a morning person, but I love the night.
It's kind of like saying food or water. It's pretty weird. You need both, really?
No,
right?
I'm not.
It's a this or that, Ben.
I don't like it.
Because the night belongs to lovers.
Oh,
because
whatever.
The night belongs to us.
I got you, Ben.
Subjective reality.
Springsteen tickets go on sale Friday, by the way. And Depeche Mode just announced a tour.
Oh, I'll go to Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Going to go see... Forget it.
Forget
the head and the heart coming.
Oh,
nice. Rich and famous or rich and unknown? Which would
rich
you rather be?
Unknown.
Rich and unknown.
I guess so. Yeah.
Lifestyles of the rich
Hold
and
on.
Famous.
You fame if you got a level enough head, you can use fame for a lot of good. So I'm gonna say that's you have two things instead of one.
I like the wraparound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be famous. Why not?
No. Rich and unknown.
No. Okay.
I'm going to go rich and at one time famous, now unknown.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Passenger or driver?
Driver.
Passenger. Jeez.
Oh my gosh.
No way.
Okay.
I love when Jen drives.
That's so weird.
I can play DJ. If I need to have a road soda at the very end of a long drive,
I'm always
allowed.
Like pressing down on the floorboards with my foot.
I like when my wife drives.
Really?
I love it.
Her car. I don't like driving her car. But
I can eat snacks. I can adjust the temperature. And I keep the conversation going with the driver. So I keep the driver active and awake.
Right. You guys are so metro.
All right. Art museum or history museum?
History.
I like art. Ooh. But history is, it's a tough one.
I'm going to go art.
Go on art.
Although I do like, I'm going to go art.
I'm going to go history.
I always go back to the Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
The times for a change.
World War II museum, guys. Yeah. Go there, then talk to me.
No, thank you. Car or bike?
car.
Well, car.
That's yes. a weird bike.
I mean, yeah, that's a general. Weird. Well, yeah, because you're from.
Yeah. Can you remember what country?
Denmark.
Don't tell him,
Spain.
Dude. He really doesn't know still. What does. Is it? Come on, it's you got it.
Now. Train or airplane?
Airplane. For sure.
Train. I enjoy riding a train more.
So my mother worked for Amtrak, and I used to take the train all the time when I was a kid.
I hate it.
I love it.
It takes like four times as long.
It doesn't
matter.
That's
not the question. What do you enjoy more, the experience?
I guess not. If I'm trying to get somewhere.
Would you rather have 9 Karens and 4 Kyles on a Southwest flight, or would you rather sit in your luxury sleeper having a cocktail looking out at the Adirondacks?
Luxury sleeper Adirondacks.
The thud thud of the track. I love it.
That wasn't part of the
equation. Ripping through the Alps and just sitting back having a drink.
Ripping through the Alps.
That scares me. That sounds like a derailment.
I remember that. On a t-shirt that says ripping through the Alps.
as the trade teeters.
I love it.
Owe money or owe a favor?
Favor.
Yeah. Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Time of day?
Time of day would be deterrent for me. Coffee to kick it and then tea all the way out.
I never drink tea.
Oh, I have this bitter melon tea right now.
Ooh.
It's so good. 41, final one. 41. Be embarrassed or be afraid?
Embarrassed.
Afraid.
Embarrassed.
Embarrassed.
Really? Absolutely embarrassed.
I hate being afraid.
Fear is the biggest debilitator.
I don't even watch scary movies anymore. But now I'm getting old. I'm afraid of heights.
Oh, I'm
afraid of gigantic spaces.
I was always the class clown, always embarrassed. It's easy.
Yeah.
I guess, but yeah, I guess you're right.
I can't even watch The Nun.
I like that. I like scary stuff.
You really?
Yeah. Scary rides, roller coasters.
No.
I don't do
scary. I started watching this one recently. I was just up at like 5 in the morning on a random morning. I'm like, I might as well watch this scary movie. It was called X. Mm. It's got a lot of... Anyway, it was very hipster. Like it. It's going to... Anyway,
sounds scary.
It was. Yeah, I shut it off after 25 minutes. Yeah, not fun. All right, that does it for this episode.
Yes.
We will come back really fast and do things that make us happy. All right, it's time to wrap up the DTO February show.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll squeeze another one in. Maybe not. We'll know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Football season's over, so I have some bandwidth. So hopefully if you guys are available, we'll be able to pull another one off.
Let's do it.
I know. I think our listeners like it when it comes out regularly versus monthly, but we have fun. So things that make me happy. Well, you just met our new puppy, Mochi.
Yeah, super cute, man.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
It was a funny process.
Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. Long story short, corgi races at the football game, French bulldogs. My kids saw the pictures. My wife and I had a discussion. We literally almost had poster board out with pros and cons because ultimately who's going to take care of it? But then I sent her to get it because I can't. I would have had 3 come home with us.
Once you see him.
And then he came in and he's been the joy of the house. So, yeah, new puppy's very fun. I'd remiss with if I didn't mention the other part, Doug the Bunny in our house. Now they get along. Now we have a dog and a bunny.
Doug the Bunny.
Celebrating my kid's oldest was a lot of fun last week with her peeps. And then watching my younger kids enjoy Valentine's in their different grades and their different ways and life in general. Happy, healthy, chilly, and I get a little break before my next job.
Ooh,
so all those things make me happy.
Weather. Cold.
Including the conflict resolution lessons that I learned tonight that I will enact immediately. Yes. Okay, Chris?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we went to Vegas on my wife's birthday, 50th.
Saw that.
So that was fun. We ate a bunch of good food and... it was pretty decadent.
Did you really gain 8 pounds?
Gain 8 pounds.
That's amazing.
What was your favorite restaurant?
I ordered a charcuterie plate for the whole table. You know, like, hey, they have this. They're known for the charcuterie plate.
Charcuterie,
whatever.
was this a Denny's
thing? Was that a fancy place?
Oh, charcuterie plate.
And it was the big one. I got the extra large because there was like 4 or 5 of us.
Yeah.
They're all like, no, we're not eating. You eat that. And so like that, but I ordered a lunch, and this was for the table, and no one. So I ended up eating like a hunk of cheese and this mortadella and everything. But anyway, this is things that make me smile. So that was a great trip. We had a fun time. We saw Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, yeah. Fun. And
then we got back. I took my daughters to Mean Girls, the musical in San Francisco, which was really actually pretty good.
We're going. My daughter's going this week.
A little awkward. There's definitely some little risque language and subject matter where you're kind of like,
cover your eyes.
Yeah. Especially for me. But no, it was good. We had a good time. And yeah, that's a wrap for me.
That's right. This is Ben. What makes me happy is this blanket. I didn't know blankets like this existed. I'm having a moment over here with this blanket.
We could
listening to my 13-year-old sing around. She just sings all day, and she doesn't really notice. So I just love listening to that, and she's just dancing and singing. So I'm trying to. I know that time that's fleeting. So I'm trying to just smile while I'm cooking or whatever.
Secretly record it for sure.
And she's trying to remember. She's also a budding thespian, and she's been really into the plays and stuff. So she's trying to learn her parts and watching her. That's fun, and just also watching my little guy, the waning dregs of my last one being little. Yeah. My little guy,
right.
He's little. He's still little, and I know it's almost over, and I sit there and just watch him sleep and cry. I do.
Almost.
Listening to Cat Stevens.
So cute.
It goes fast.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's fleeting.
Yeah. Anyway, enjoy the littleness, man.
Yeah.
So nice. So sweet.
I know. Our Lola's floating out slowly but surely. And it's just like, oh, my goodness.
Ugh.
Crazy.
It's life. Mark?
Yeah, Valentine's Day was cool. My wife and I didn't go out because my 16-year-old did go out with his girlfriend. Got to meet her. And that was a lot of fun to see him get all dressed up and do nice, you know, Valentine's Day stuff. My daughter's still playing indoor soccer. I'm coaching her, and she's an Annie, so I'm hearing all the songs and seeing all that stuff going on. And my little guy just started baseball, and I'm going to be one of his coaches, so it's fun to be out on the field coaching. And it's amazing going from where he was last year to the farm team he's on this year, just seeing the...
Yeah, he was T-ball last year, right?
It was coach pitch and then T-ball if you couldn't hit it. This year it's going to be kid pitch.
Yeah.
And just seeing the quality of players on our team is, like, remarkable. It's fun to see all the kids come out and throw well and hit well and catch. And it's just, you know, it's neat to see the progression of life, you know. And and then, of course, you know, Valentine's Day, you know, spending with my little boy and my daughter and my wife was nice. It was a very pleasant thing. And, you know, just looking forward to the coming of spring and all things that come with that.
Look at that, huh?
Hopefully it'll come soon. It's a little chilly out here in the
chilly.
We're crying, right? But my buddy's in Vermont, and he works at one of the ski resorts. There's Killington, I think it is. And he was showing me his temperatures last week, and it was literally like minus 14 for reals, and then whatever the wind on top of that was.
We're pretty soft out here.
Ouch. You were pretty soft. Like,
oh, yeah.
We are crying if it's below 60.
It's 61 degrees.
It is 54 tonight, and I am freezing. Well, yeah, that's funny because Lowell's, my youngest, did T-ball. We had one practice in, and then the pandemic hit. And now she has no interest in ever playing softball. And that's not because of that, but we were talking the other day, and it kind of like, I'm like, oh, no, you don't want to? Okay.
You missed the window.
Doing hoops.
Yeah.
Like, she's out there balling in a different way. She's playing golf. But, like, yeah, I missed that when the pandemic robbed us of that window.
That's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. And that's the show for tonight. We thank you for hanging in there for an hour with us. We hope you had a good time. Hope you pulled a nugget or two. We're not perfect. We don't pretend to be, but we hope that some of the information that we give from experts you can delve onto, or if you hear a similar situation and all that good stuff. But we appreciate all of our listeners out there. Thank you for all the interactions. Thank you for all the kind comments. Even the little hearts on Instagram mean a whole lot to us. So we are the Dad Time Out Show, and we are out of here.
Good evening.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here.
We've been listening to you talk for an hour.